sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah. What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome back to the Red Light Special. We are back for another episode. My name is Rob Markman. I'm your host with my co-host, Kristen Coral. Chris, what up?
What's up? How are you?
I'm good. How's your week?
Busy.
Yeah?
But good.
Busy is good, right?
Eventful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? I've been seeing you've been doing some videos. We ain't talk about that yet with the homie Zeus.
Oh, yeah.
Herb, man.
We're doing a health food show. So I don't know if anybody watches like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives by Guy Fieri. You watch that?
No.
You know what it is?
I know what it is, but I
Food Network show.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally love the show, but it's a lot of unhealthy eating. And you literally can watch him go to like these places and just kind of highlight like what their menu offers and stuff and what they're mainly known for. But we do it like the healthy version.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. If you go to my YouTube channel, we have, I believe, five episodes.
I'm motivated.
You're motivated. That's the whole point. You know, everybody talks about being in the gym all the time and stuff, but you know, that's nothing if you're not eating good.
Yeah, man.
You can still pig out and have a burger every once in a while.
Shout out to Herb. I was out. I got the frog in my throat. I was out hosting some event for Chris Casanova, and Herb was there. And
the screening, right?
Yeah.
For the documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris. That's the homie.
And I was just eating mad popcorn, and I felt like Herb was just judging me, but I hadn't eaten. I was so hungry. And it was like, well, all we have here is popcorn. And, man, so I, you know, took down the popcorn, but I felt like Irv was judging me, man. Shout out to Irv. also want to shout out Jake and Papa. You know, once again, that is our theme song, Starless, man. Them brothers is doing it. I saw that they performed at the Power 106 concert in L.A., the Valentine's Day joint. I think it was the Friday before Valentine's Day, so that's dope, man.
Yeah.
Like, to see them on the big stage, I see nothing but great things for those guys.
They're working.
Yeah.
I really don't know, I mean, they got a lot they're working on. I know they're working on a lot of new music, but I'm kind of just waiting for, like, I don't know. I'm waiting for, like, that one moment or that one thing to really just take them, like, you know?
It's going to happen. Like, you know, I feel like with most artists, especially, like, artists with real longevity, like, it'll be build up, and then it'll kind of be that one thing. But then you can't take away the build up. Like, when they get it to the point where they all working towards, it's going to be so monumental, man. So shout out to Jake and Pop. Shout out to the homie Jamie over at This Is R&B, man. Always holding us down, man. I love the site. And definitely have to send love to King, man. That episode was great. Those ladies are special. Like, you know, when Prince got to bow down to you.
When you get that cosign from Prince, ain't nothing like it.
So shout out to King. If you haven't yet, check out their debut album, We Are King. It's such a vibe. It's amazing. I'm glad that they came here to talk about it, man. They didn't do a whole lot, man. They've been getting, like, a lot of critical acclaim.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were one of the few stops that they made, so.
Yeah, a lot of people were asking me, you know, either if they did hear about them. Like, I know Tangina Stone, she was like, yo, where'd you get King out? You know, like, where'd you grab them from? Like, they haven't been out in years. Like, what are they up to now? And I told her, I'm like, go hear the album. She heard the album. She's like, wow. You know, they never fail to impress, so.
Shout out to Tangina, too. She did a cover of Bryson's joint of Don't. And I peeped it out over the weekend, man. Cool vibes, man. So shout out to Tangina.
You saw the visual?
Yeah, I definitely saw the video.
She had that Ohio jacket on.
It was dope. I was like, yo, this jacket was hot. I was going to ask where I could get one. And then when I finally seen the back, I was like, maybe if it comes in size, Brooklyn.
Get a New York version of it.
Yeah, nah, but shout out to Tangina. But we're here now this week.
Yeah.
And we got a very, very special guest. We say this every week, but we have a special guest with us because, I mean, this is the people that kind of inspire us and help us just keep going every week. I mean, you know, normally we have a R&B and artist in the house, but this week I want to do something different because we're going to talk about the Grammys. this week. And, you know, we didn't necessarily want an artist in here. Like, we just wanted to create a vibe. Like, it's just a bunch of friends talking. And one of our great friends and one of the great friends of this podcast, I'm going to shout out. You might know her on Twitter as Mo Bigger. But yeah. Jess is in the building. Jess holds us down every week. When I seen Jess kind of tweeting and supporting us, that's when I knew we had some. Like, yo, we got like real fans and supporters. And not even fans. I hate that word. It's like fan, because we just build a connection off of, we made a podcast, you heard a podcast, you liked it, we liked it. We just start talking to each other and boom, like, we're here now. So
hi, Jess.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. What an intro. I wasn't expecting an intro.
Welcome to the Red Light Special.
You want to hear something funny? The funny part is Rob actually hits me.
I wasn't going to tell this story. You can tell this story. I wasn't going to tell this story.
Rob hits me through the text, and he's like, yo, you know, I got an idea, blah, blah. He's like, hit up Jess. And I'm like, Jess? I'm like, who's Jess? And he's like, Jess. And then he puts your ad. I'm like, oh, Mo Bigger. But, like, you get so accustomed nowadays to, like, talking about people in their at names. I feel like there's people that I know, you know, by their at names, and I don't know their real name. And I think it's kind of, like, sad in a way, but in a different way, it's like, that's what you go by now. It's all about social media. And
it definitely is.
Yeah.
Mo Bigger's a nickname. It actually derived from Big Deal, whatever. Mo is my middle name. So it just kind of stuck. And people call me Mo, Big, Bigger, Jess. I get it all. I answer to them all.
Where you from? You from?
I was born here, but I was raised in Orlando, Florida.
Okay. So where you stay at now? We're in New York now. I mean, I think the listeners know we're in New York.
Yeah. Well, I was born in Queens.
In Queens, okay.
But I live in the Bronx now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Down. Okay. That's what's up. Nah, that's what's up. And thank you, you know, just so I can say for the listeners, because I've told you this, just for the support. I think when we did our in-store, our Apple in-store, and you were showing up in front row, like, repping, it was like...
Front row by myself.
Yo.
I actually stood up and was just like, I'm at Mo Bigger on Twitter. I was like, oh, okay. Now it makes sense.
Yo, yeah. That's when it felt real, because, I mean, we're doing this and you just don't know who's listening. And then to actually connect with people in the real world, just like, yo, I listened and, you know, this is how I feel, or this is what I think. Like, I love it. And that's what it's more for. You know, and sometimes even more important than the artist is just like the people that you connect with, because we all love this music.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to thank you because for my birthday, and you actually brought it, is actually here in the studio. you're an artist.
Yeah, I paint acrylic pop art paintings.
Right.
Yeah, exciting.
So for my birthday, now it's very exciting. I was very touched when it was my birthday, and I jump on Instagram and I jump on Twitter. And I see this picture, you know, I always make the joke, RLS and chill, like, fuck Netflix and chill, it's RLS and chill.
Definitely.
And you made a painting based over that.
Yes.
With Johnny Bravo and the Red Light Special. And I'm going to repost it when we post this episode. Matter of fact, that's going to be the cover to this episode, is going to be the painting. What you think, Chris? You think we get away with that?
I like that idea. It's a dope painting. Like, I wish you guys, we'll post a picture, actually, so you'll, you guys can all see it. But, you said pop art, and it really does pop. There's so many colors to it, and I like the idea that you incorporated something like the classic Johnny Bravo with something like Red Light Special. Like, that's officially, I think, the first thing that I've seen. Rob mentioned in one of the episodes, like, somebody needs to make a Red Light Special and chill.
RLS and I took
chill.
Notes.
And you,
yeah. I took, I literally, I
as an avid listener, desk. Went upon and did it.
I'm sitting at my desk, writing down ideas for paintings, because what I do, I like to take old cartoons. It's been my popular, like, ideas to take old cartoons and put it to our culture now. So right. Twitter culture, Facebook culture, right. Like things that go on. So like I did a Doug Funny and Patty right. Mayonnaise Netflix and Chill.
Right.
And then I heard you guys say Red Light Special and Chill. I was like, oh, I can do this.
Well, one of my favorites that you did, and I'm actually like a fan of your, because one, I'm a big, I think people who know me know this. I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but like I'm a huge comic book head. You know what I mean? And the extension of that is cartoons and all of this. And one of my favorites, and I was just a fan even before you did this, so I'm not even saying I'm a fan of yours because you did something really dope for us. It was that when Drake dropped Charged Up, you did a painting of Pikachu next to an outlet, and then it was like charged up. Like, I thought that was so dope.
That was one of my friend's idea. He hit me up and he was like, charged up, Pikachu, you have to do it. Shout out to Drew. He was the one who gave me that idea. Another one was your favorites was Angelica.
Yeah.
With Bitch Better Have My Money, yeah. Rihanna. And
oh,
I had her
I
driving
loved that one.
In the little car. Yeah. I'm pop culture. I'm right. on Twitter all day. I'm always just talking my mess on Twitter. I have strange, crazy opinions.
Right.
So I voiced them, and then it just came out to be a really good idea. A lot of people love them. Mm. I still have more coming out, by little.
That Angelica one was funny, too, because it was just like, even though the Rugrats is a cartoon, and Angelica would be like, bitch, better have
right.
my money.
She really
like,
would.
Like, that Rihanna track kind of fit
I
her personality.
That was the episode that she ran away from home,
right.
and she was driving in her car.
Right.
That's my favorite one has to be the Rocco's Modern Life, because if you paid attention to Rocco, he actually worked for a sex hotline, and I put 1-800-HOTLINE-BLING.
I never got into Rocco's like that.
That show's trippy.
I didn't think it was a sex hotline, though.
He was on a sex hotline, yes. If you watch the reruns of the show, he was on a sex hotline. And I did 1-800-HOTLINE-BLING, and I felt like it was so epic.
I'm going to look up Rocco. See, that went over my head. We need a genius to
exactly.
to annotate that one, to
That's
decode
dope.
It.
I did Courage the Cowardly Dog, and it's right. He's dressed up as an eggplant,
mm-hmm.
and it says, you know why I'm here.
Right.
There was an episode right. where he dressed up as an eggplant to save Muriel.
See, that's dope, though, that you actually have, like, different things behind your painting.
That was actually another friend who came up with the line for it.
Right, right.
Because I was going to put, there's more to us than this.
Right.
Because, you know, the guys, right. the whole feminist male thing. But my guy friend, shout out to Lenny. Lenny was like, nah, you got to put this is why I'm here.
Right.
And it just worked out perfect.
That's funny. That's funny. How long you been painting for?
I've actually only been painting for 3 years.
Okay.
It's something I was like scared to do it. I kind of shook myself out of it. And just one day, I started doing Kanye West bears.
Right.
Mm. I do Kanye bears.
You do that for, you had a pop-up shop, right?
Yes.
In the city?
Mm-hmm. And I had a series of Kanye bears. I love Kanye, so it just kind of worked.
You need a Pablo bear right now.
Yeah. I need to come up with something. Not right. a big fan of that album cover, though.
Make a new album cover. Make a new
Great
album
idea.
Cover. And when people download Pablo, and you know, people could just switch the album covers. They could just switch out the art. I didn't love the album cover either. Make a new album cover. I bet you people will
this
switch
how
it
ideas
out.
Ideas are created.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And where can people, I just want to see, because your art has a whole separate Instagram page.
Yeah, I created one just to like differentiate it, because mm-hmm. do you really want to see my selfies in the middle of paintings, or do you want to just follow me for my paintings? Like,
smart,
all of you. Let's
smart.
Go. But shout out the Instagram page for the art.
My art Instagram is Bigga Picture, and Bigga Picture is 2 A's, so BIGGAA Picture. You can see the hashtag on Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. I have a whole bunch of stuff up there.
Dope. Check it out. We need more likes.
Thank you.
We need infinite likes.
You gotta make a Rihanna work painting.
And that would definitely be all yours. All yours. You love that song.
I love that.
But yo, one of the reasons that we had you up here, I mean, besides just cool vibes and all the support, and we wanted to show you some support back for just showing us so much love. We wanted to have like a fan moment, and you know, the Grammys were last night. By the time you guys hear this, maybe 2 days have passed, but we're here the day after the Grammys. And we just wanted to talk about the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's the one night a year where I feel like all the music is tuned in, even if you hate it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're mad Kendrick didn't win Album of the Year.
Sigh, deep sigh.
But no, highlights. What were some of your Grammy highlights this year?
Kendrick's performance, definitely. That was a theatrical, amazing performance.
Did you throw your fist up? Did you just feel like putting your fist up when Kendrick was done performing? Like,
I can't even lie. Like, I don't know if the way they edit everything, and they had him like they showed his face in different ways. It was trippy. Like, it. I feel like you actually felt how he was performing.
Right. It felt very frantic.
Yes, and I think that might be the first time, like, Lady Gaga performs all the time, and she's amazing at what she does, but you don't always feel what she's performing. You always kind of look at them and you're like, well, what the hell is she doing? Or
you're
this is
watching
weird.
What she's doing.
But you
she
actually
crazy
felt
things,
what Kendrick was doing up there. Like, it was.
I felt what Gaga was doing too, but just back to Kendrick, because Gaga did something pretty amazing to me, in my opinion. But yeah, man, that Kendrick moment, man, it was like, what a statement. Like, for him to just come out and kind of perform, and the new verse that he gave us. First of all, I got to shout out Freas from the Genius community. The lyrics to that verse that he had performed for the first time for Untitled 3 was up on Genius within like 20 minutes of Kendrick coming off the stage. And that's the community that transcribed it. That was Freas. You know, the way he, like, right off the top, you know, got into Trayvon and,
yeah,
you know, like, really made statements. Salute. I'm wondering, I'm waiting. I mean, I hope there's no backlash, but you see how they did Beyonce. Like, I think everybody's just waiting, like, say something.
I don't think
America,
anybody's going to backlash
say Kendrick.
I think it would have happened already. Right. That's how quick social media works nowadays.
Right.
Even the Beyonce thing, as soon as the Super Bowl wasn't even over, and some people were already like, oh, she's using her platform to do this, which, by the way, I think what Beyonce is doing and has done is amazing. I don't disagree with not even one bit of it. So
everything Twitter said about that is so discredited, because no one showed up to their little
did you see that? The protest
no
in front of
today.
So there was a protest today, supposed planned protest in front of the NFL headquarters to protest Beyonce's Super Bowl performance. And nobody showed up.
It was like three people supposedly that showed up. But the anti Beyonce protest had a whole bunch of people show up.
Yeah, the Hive was, you know, the Hive.
People aren't gonna realize yet that she can literally do no wrong.
I don't feel that her video was that discriminating.
It wasn't discriminating at all.
It wasn't.
And that's what we were. I didn't want to get into it. But is her video pro-black? Yes.
Right.
Does pro-black mean anti-white? No.
Exactly.
Does you know, her protesting, you know, she was anti-police brutality to me in that video. It wasn't anti-police. You know, I don't think anybody is anti-police. You know, we need police unless it'd be like the purge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like outside. But police brutality, I think, unless we can all, like, agree as a nation and as a country that America has a serious problem with police brutality, and it looks like there's still some people who, regardless of what they see on the news every night, can't admit that there's a problem with young black men being shot and killed
mm-hmm.
by police. And until we admit, it's like an alcoholic, right? It was like, well, the first step is that you have to admit you have a problem. Like, America can't even holistically admit that there's a problem. And that's why you see something like Beyonce, and I think people are, like, offended by it.
And I think it also comes down to, like, a lot of people think it's more of a race thing. So when we say, you know, police brutality, a lot of the Caucasian community will say, oh, well, it's a thing against whites. And it's really not. Does it happen to be a lot of white people that are doing these? Yes. But that doesn't mean that it's zoning in on just them. So when you bring up a subject like police brutality that is very related to Caucasian, you know, police officers, I think it's a very sensitive topic. And when anything's sensitive, it's going to offend a ton of people. So you got to kind of take the good
with
the bad.
Man,
I love the Beyonce videos. So.
Nobody's more offended than Mike Brown's parents.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know?
Very true.
Or Trey Brown's parents
right.
or Eric Garner's family. Like, right. So as much as we can be hurt as a nation, you know what I'm saying, over whichever side you take, nobody's hurt more than the families of the victims.
Right.
So let's start there first. Like, you know.
You see the SNL skit though?
SNL killed it. The day that Beyonce
hilarious.
Turned black. Like, I don't watch SNL.
I watch
very
for Kanye.
Often. Yeah,
Kanye
was on SNL, so I watched, but they kind of nailed it with that the day Beyonce turned black skit. Like,
I didn't see it.
Oh, you got
to. I'm not really an SNL.
I'm not an SNL person either, but that skit. Is the day white people found out that Beyonce was black. Absolutely
it's hilarious.
Hilarious.
It's like a movie trailer. You got to check it out.
I'm going to see it.
Google it. Chris, what was your favorite Grammy moment?
I can't decide between Tori Kelly.
I knew you was going to say Tori Kelly. You love Tori Kelly. Yo, she could sing.
Okay, here's the thing.
She could sing. Nah, I ain't mad at you.
I do love Tori Kelly. Do I wish she was a little bit more relevant? Like, I hate to say relevant because I know I'm going to get attacked for this, but I do feel like she's not at her full potential.
At all, no.
What's relevant, though? She performed at the VMA. She performed at the Grammys.
Yeah, but what's a performance when people get, you know, they look at you on the at the performance and they're like, well, who's that? It's kind of sad for such a talented person for people to be like, who's that? Especially people who are knowledgeable in music.
She needs another Dear No One. Right. You remember that song, Dear No One?
No, and I listened to her album, but even her album, to me, I can't name you the songs. It's like, something's not working for me, even though I love Tori Kelly. And when she sings, it is incredible.
I think it's still at the start of it. I think what it is that she's still at that point in her career where it is that, who's that? Oh my God, she can sing. But I mean, I think that's a great moment. Like that moment of discovery when you see an artist for the first time. Like when in watching The Weeknd's performance, like, I couldn't believe that he was up there. I'm like, yeah. Yo, I can't believe Abel is at the Grammys. Because I remember the moment of discovery where it felt like this thing, right, that was just like underground. And it was mm-hmm. like you wanted to scream to the world, like, yo, House of Balloons is the greatest shit ever. Mm-hmm. Yo, listen to House of Balloons. And you would just like walk down and shake people. Yo, did you hear House of Balloons? Did you hear Thursday? And people still quite didn't know who Abel was until Drake, until like Crew Love.
Yeah.
You know, and then people started again. And I'm like, yo, he's at the Grammys, yo, like. So I think as a fan, like, I think Tori Kelly is kind of having that moment. I think 2 or 3 years from now, and you'll be like, yo, you remember when?
And I want that to happen. Like, I look at Tori and I'm like, why? Like, I want to shake people almost and be like, do you hear this? Because I had a few people over for the Grammys and they were all on their phones and I'm here. I'm like, are you guys hearing what is on that stage right now? And James Bay. James Bay. I mean, did you guys hear James Bay singing with her? Like,
yeah.
I personally got put onto James Bay because I don't know about James Bay, but I went and listened to a couple of his songs. Like, his voice is amazing.
Right.
And I love that. Like, to be able to, like you said, with The Weeknd, to discover new artists. Me and Jess were talking the other day, and I mean, the people who know me know that I'm a fan, and I've seen this guy perform at SOBs, and he's amazing. But if you haven't heard
The Weeknd?
No. Spazzy oh. Rocket.
Oh, okay.
Like, I love when artists are still a little bit underground and unknown.
Right.
And about to pop. If you look at Spazzy Rocket is another one of those mm-hmm. artists. They're big in the people who know them, but not yet to the world.
I'm just saying.
She'll get her moment.
I'm just saying, Bryson Tiller. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Red Light Special. We was here early, yeah, too.
Definitely. The 22nd, ready for that show. Right. I'm ready to see him live.
How about Carrie Underwood, though?
I like Carrie Underwood, man. Like, I'm not a country person, but I just like, she's just cool, man. Mm-hmm. Like, but Gaga, the Gaga performance, like, yeah. Yo, she really thought she was David Bowie. Like, she channeled Bowie, which was so, like, even like her spastic movement, like, yo, she really channeled Bowie, man. Like, I had to give it up to her. And I met Gaga one time. And I interviewed her one time at the VMAs.
Like 2 years ago?
Maybe 2 years ago, 2013 maybe. Maybe it was 2012. Maybe it was 2013. She performed as a man. She dressed up as Joe Calderon.
I remember that one.
And we did the interview, and her rep came. She was like, yo, first of all, I was just standing there. I didn't even know I was going to interview Gaga. I was backstage. They was like, okay, we're going to do the interview. And I didn't know who they were talking about. And the rep was from Interscope, and I know her for Eminem. I was like, Em's gonna do an interview? Like, okay, it's going to. I didn't know who she was like, we're gonna do the interview. And she spoke to me like if we had some previous conversation about this, we didn't. And she was, you're gonna be ready, right? We're coming into the room now, okay. All of a sudden, Gaga comes into the room dressed as a dude. And I'm like, holy shit. And then she comes to me and she goes, look, the only stipulation is you can't interview Gaga. You have to interview her as Joe Calderon because she won't break character. And she was so, even backstage, was just committed to the character. And so we did it and it was like fun as hell. So in me having that experience with Gaga, I could fully appreciate her David Bowie tribute. Because I'm like, yo, she probably is up there and has convinced herself that she's David Bowie. Like, she is fully committed to this. And that's kind of the way she just approaches her art, I feel like. And I always respect that. So that David Bowie tribute was dope.
And acting, because she's also doing, what is it, American Horror Story.
She won an award for that.
She won a
I don't know.
She won four. I forget the category she won.
I remember that Leonardo DiCaprio looked at her funny. I don't remember. Golden.
Oh yeah. He sure did. What about the Lionel Richie tribute?
Sorry, I'm late on that.
Demi Lovato.
Demi, yes.
When the whole world was like, "Oh shit, Demi can sing."
She gave me the chills, and I was not expecting that whatsoever.
First of all, Demi is looking better and better every award show that I see her perform. I mean, physically and her performance.
Right.
She went off.
I dig her, man. I dig what Demi stands for, like, super outspoken, like, won't let nobody bully her, especially when it comes to her body image and shaming. You know, because she's not, a skinny girl. She's not a big girl neither, but I guess she doesn't fit kind of the pop star mold that everybody thought she should. And she won't let you bully her, and she'll talk about it, or she'll be outspoken about it, and about her own struggles with her body image and whatever. And beyond all that, like, yo, sang her ass off at the Grammys, like, killed everybody. Like, it almost made it look like
it was
what's everybody
show.
Else doing.
Yeah.
No, like, even Tyrese, I love Tyrese. Sang. Like, out of that whole group that you know, honored Lionel Richie, like, Demi owned that shit.
I don't know if it was just me, but I feel like I couldn't hear Tyrese to his fullest.
He was in the background to me. Like, it was Demi's show.
Like, I
felt like it was.
And I know Tyrese can sing.
He can.
Oh,
so
for sure.
I don't know.
That, without question.
I don't know. I felt like I couldn't hear him. I was almost like, shh. You know, like.
And they were having, what you call it, problems all night. Like, mic problems. Like, Adele's mic went out.
Yeah.
For a
How
second.
Did you feel about that performance?
I think this was long.
It was cool. It was like, I wasn't like blown away.
I agree. That was my. She has a beautiful voice. I will never discredit her for that, ever. But I don't feel that performance was what we expected to see from Adele coming back with a new album, new music.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything for me. It was just, I was watching her. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's doing Adele.
Yeah. 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 She didn't like elevate it to, and you know, it's hard because, I mean, when just the theatrics of performing. And Adele is great for taking it back because she's just like, man, I'm going to get up here and sing. But yeah, I wasn't like blown away. But I was also distracted after the Kendrick performance with the news that, I don't know if you heard, J-Rock, his man from TDE, was in a motorcycle accident. So I was like making phone calls, like trying to figure out if Rock was okay, just like, because that's my man. Like, that's who I met Kendrick through.
Yeah.
In like 2010, you know what I'm saying?
How was everything
like,
going with that?
He got a lot of broken bones, but I mean, it was getting scary on Twitter. Like, there was some dude on Twitter, like fucking jerk, like saying he was in a coma, saying 99.9% chance he wasn't going to make it.
Twitter kills everybody.
But I was legit like scared. Like, it was just, I was like, what's going on? But so I was like half like watching the Grammys, but kind of just hitting up the homies in the camp, just trying to figure out who had information, just to make sure. But he's gonna be all right. He's gonna, you know, it's gonna be a while, you know. But broken bones can heal, so
yeah, that's a good thing at least, because you know, you can definitely recover 100% from that, as opposed to like, I remember I had a sprained ankle one time and it was no fun. They're like, you might as well have broken your ankle; it would have been better.
It's real different.
Like, all right. Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Different, Chris.
What a comparison. Awesome comparison.
Yo, J-Rock, get well. Something I want to talk about, though. I want to throw a topic out there. Because, you know, the Weeknd's performance, when I was watching The Weeknd, and I'm a huge Weeknd fan, like.
I'm the opposed.
I fucks with Abel, man. Like, I'm a real big Weeknd fan. But I'm watching the performance, and I wasn't blown away. Like, I'm watching it, and something seemed off. And I just couldn't figure out what it was, because that felt like kind of what we was talking about earlier. It was like, yo, this is the moment. And though there was a part of me that was like, yo, I can't believe he's here at the Grammys, I wasn't like quite like blown away. And then I read later that he was supposed to perform. You know this story? He was supposed to have a duet with Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill. Mm-hmm.
Your girl, Jess.
Yes.
And Lauryn and Weeknd rehearsed together, according to reports. And were all set to perform until Lauryn didn't show up. The Grammy committee had released a statement. I forget the guy's name. I'll find his name. But had gave a quote to let me look at it, to TV Line. Okay, update. Check this out. The National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences President Neil Portnow, that's his name, Neil, has confirmed backstage at the Grammys that Lauryn Hill was due for a surprise performance of In the Night with Weeknd, but did not show up on time. Portnow says Hill attended dress rehearsal on Sunday morning, but missed performing live with The Weeknd, whom Portnow says was ready for her up until the moment The Weeknd got on stage. So The Weeknd was expecting to still perform with Lauryn.
Wow.
Right until the point when he had to go on stage.
See, I didn't know that part.
He says wow. The Weeknd personally invited Hill to be a part of his Grammy performance. And of course, Lauryn's reps had told Billboard that the Grammys announced a performance with Miss Lauryn Hill prematurely and without approval. Miss Hill had concerts all weekend, leaving no time to prepare, and was uncertain she would be able to make it to LA in time to rehearse for the event. So there's conflicting reports, but
yeah, definitely.
The Grammys are at least saying that Abel, up until the moment of going on stage, was kind of expecting Lauryn to be there because they rehearsed together. That would throw me off.
I would throw anything. Like, here's what I always say. Any performance, whether it's acting, you know, singing, whatever it is that you're performing and getting out there and doing, you prepare for it. You have to get into a mental state, like a state of mind. And as a performer, if you plan to perform with someone and then that very moment that you're going to get on stage, they all of a sudden don't show, it fucks you up mentally.
Right.
And if you are not there mentally 100%, it changes your performance, whether you like it or not. You know what I
right.
mean? Like, as an actress, if your lines change the minute before they yell action, you're a little nervous now. You know what I mean? Like, everything changes.
Right.
So,
but and
I get it.
And that's
know?
Not to say, I don't think The Weeknd was, like, bad or
no.
terrible. Like, he didn't bomb. Like, he went out there and sang the song and did what he had to do. Jess is making a face. All right, you're making a face. I know you're not a Weeknd fan.
It's
you're
not,
making
why,
a face.
Why aren't you, though?
Your homegirl stood him up. And Lauryn...
And you know what? That is very disrespectful.
You have a Lauryn... hold on. We got to set the stage,
wait, the
though.
Bronx is coming out because she got her finger up right now.
Yeah.
Like,
put your finger down. There'll be no finger waving on the Red Light Special. You have a Lauryn tattoo.
Yes, I do have.
So you hold
the
her...
cover of the album.
Okay, of the Miseducation. Well, the only album. The
hey,
album.
Rob, you better
just
watch
saying.
It.
Miseducation over, what is it?
My Life?
Oh, yeah, that. Mm-hmm.
Wait,
we could
what?
Talk about it, like, every episode, we could bring it up. Miseducation over My Life.
Talk
My Life
shit,
is a better
Jess.
Album.
No.
My Life is a better album than Miseducation.
No, it's not. Anyways,
it
the topic.
It absolutely is. Shout out to MJB.
The topic. okay, if Lauryn stood him up, that's disrespectful. And... realistically, I am a Lauryn Hill stan, so I'm going to defend her, but that's disrespectful. I'm also a realist. Over anything, I'm a realist. So that's disrespectful. I would be really upset. And why am I not a Weeknd fan? It's not that I'm not a Weeknd fan. First of all, House of Balloons was amazing.
Right.
Amazing. But from there, I feel like maybe I just didn't follow the craft that he wanted to go.
The change in direction.
I liked where he started.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he changed it up, it just wasn't for me.
I didn't love Kissland, though. I've gone on record to say that Kissland, I was like a little bit lost. It was like gray area for me.
And, you know, now Twitter claims that he's comparable to Michael Jackson, and I think that is absurd.
You know, I don't think anybody is comparable to Michael Jackson. I think he's going in that lane, like, you know, like he's moving in that direction of the music. That I mean, I can't feel my face. Sounds
essence,
like a Michael
there's
Jackson.
There's an essence to it, and I think the way he's growing to such stardom and the way he's went from that House of Balloons to what he's doing now, if you really listen, here's my thing,
nobody's ever gonna be Michael. Let's get that
right. Right, and
this
I think that's stupid, like
Jackson.
Why we always have to make somebody another legend,
always,
you know what
always
I mean
a
like
comparison.
But sonically he's sonically at least this album that in the night.
Yes.
Can't Feel My Face, like there's Michael yes. Jackson isms, and he went. He spoke to the New York Times and said that he purposely wanted to fill that void, at least sonically. I ain't mad at him. Those are great
songs. I
think there
is. I do hear it, and I do think there's influences. But I always tell people, like, stop it trying to be. And it's not about him trying to be, but it's people mm-hmm. trying to make him a new somebody.
Yeah,
just
he,
let him be.
He did
his
it too.
Own.
I mean,
you
know,
what I mean?
I feel like he has his own lane mm-hmm. more so than being compared to anybody else.
Yeah.
my biggest issue with him is lyrically.
Right.
I don't like what he says.
Right.
I feel like he degrades women. Like, it's not, it is not okay to sleep with me and then go sleep with my friend tomorrow. I'm not going to judge you. That's not, a lie.
That's
we're judging
it's not okay
you.
With you. But there are girls that allow speaking on experience. Blame the girl who did sleep with him and was sleeping with her friend.
No, you're 100% correct.
I can't argue that. But if we're talking about the scale of musicians who degrade women, The Weeknd is pretty low on that scale. Because you also have a Kanye West tattoo.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, you're right. Okay.
We could start there.
But it just kills me because I feel like so many younger girls listen to The Weeknd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want, like, if I have a younger cousin and she's blasting The Weeknd and he's sitting there talking about, like, it's okay, we can be casual, you could be casual with my friend, I'm not going to judge you. Realistically, no, it's not okay. We are going to judge you. You would have slept with the homies.
Right.
Don't do it.
But that's not.
But let me ask you this now. If he wasn't to say, let's be casual and it's cool, and if he was to leave it at that and he was to leave out the whole, you could sleep with the homie and I'm cool too. Like, if he was to leave that part out and he was just saying, like, we could be casual, I'm not judging you. Is that wrong? Because as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of that going on. And
no, you're right.
It's not, you know.
It's just sometimes I listen to things and I'm like, he's like, what?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
You're just picking on him.
I guess. But again, House of Balloons. I can listen to that.
But back to Lauren. Like.
Oh, yeah. We came off topic.
Are we going to continue to give Lauren Hill passes? Like, Lauren Hill is like.
Yeah.
She gets the most passes. It's like, yo, she made Miseducation. Like, Lauren Hill could do the most fucked up shit and be like, yo, man.
I think in the article they said the same thing, right? That she's one of two hip hop artists to ever win Album of the Year.
Yeah.
So she feels like she's on that pedestal. Right. I mean, I do think it goes back to, like, your work ethic. No matter what, as an artist, you can't think you're too good. You know what I mean? Like, you can't think that you've accomplished so much that things are okay. They're not. You know, I don't know.
Like, Nas gonna go out there and commit murder and be like, Illmatic, son. Illmatic. Yo, like.
That's a good one.
But you know what? I also blame Abel. Because I wouldn't have trusted her to show up anyway. She could have gave me, she could have signed the contract in blood.
Yeah. Like, no, she's known for, I've seen her in concert a few times. She shows up very, very, very late.
What's your favorite Lauren song?
My favorite?
X Factor. X-Factor.
When we say it at the same time, I knew it was going to be X-Factor. I can just look at you and tell you an X-Factor person.
I always ask people, it's like my favorite question to ask, if you had no choice to live with just one song, what song would it be? Oh. Mine is X-Factor. I could live with that song and that song only.
That's hard. Wow.
It's definitely, it's a hard question. No one wants to live with one song forever, but X-Factor.
It might be Ultralight Beam right now.
Oh, Ultralight Beam.
Sound like church.
That's a good one.
Wow. Okay, so we're giving Lauren a pass for this?
She should, if
just
if
Miss Hill
and did if she really did stand him up, then I will. I didn't know that part.
Okay.
I was just told that she showed up late.
Right.
Like, that's what I read in the internet, whatever.
And I'm just reading on the article I was reading from was on Vulture, and yeah, it was a statement from the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences President Neil.
If you showed up for rehearsal, you should show up for the performance. So I can see where that would have psyched him out.
It would be Lauren to think, though, that the Grammys was going to wait for her. Ah, they'll just start when I get there. I mean, we've been waiting for her since 98. So it's just like,
they
waiting for me this long.
Throwing all these shots.
Damn.
Just saying, man. Yo, she gets the most passes.
No, she does. She does. I do agree with that. And I'm a Lauren, like,
the Miseducation.
Yes. And I, you know, my life, it's a fucking great album.
It's amazing.
It's so hard to even choose between them two. Would I choose Miseducation? Yes. Not to say that my life isn't, you know, I would never, my life, so that's just a
hater. I can't
listen
to my life all the way through. I can listen to the Miseducation all the way.
Yeah. Yo, y'all can see my face right now.
I know, he's giving me the
shock and the awe that is on my face. You can't listen to my life? What song do you skip? Oh, wait, we're gonna have to get into this one time.
I could listen to My Life.
What song do you skip on Mary J. Blige's My Life? I want to know.
I don't think I even have My Life on my iPod right now.
I want to know what song offends you.
It's not that it offends me. You know what? Maybe I just don't understand.
With Miseducation more.
Maybe I don't understand Mary and Casey the way that I should have. Maybe I have yet to go
Mary
through.
Mary J. Blige and Casey.
Maybe I have yet to go through a relationship that puts me into that emotional state of mind.
Not that I condone these Lifetime movies.
We need one.
But imagine the Mary J. Blige, Casey Lifetime movie. Imagine what your Twitter timeline is going to look like.
Well, you know what? I'd agree that that would be a better movie than Wyclef and Lauren.
I don't know.
I think My Life, the movie, would be better than A Miseducation.
Is that me?
All right. We're gonna move on. I don't know.
Let's make it a poll. Let's make it a poll on Twitter tomorrow and see.
I don't want to see anything. The world is gonna end. I want to get into Mike Bivens from legendary Mike Bivens from New Edition from Belle Biv DeVoe. Mm. Jumped on Instagram, and I'm gonna read his IG post. He has a big picture that says R&B, and it says the Grammys. R&B music is soul, rhythm, pain, and lyrics. I watched your award show and realized no R&B awards are on TV. Why? The reason you're looking at one hip-hop award on TV is because years ago, Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff boycotted the show when they were Hot 100 artists. To all that still believe and support, pay attention to not just what we see on the red carpet, but what you don't see on TV. Rise and believe. My next interview, I'll open up some conversation. God bless MLB. We should get Mike Bivens on this show.
We should.
So Mike Bivens is mad because none of the R&B awards were televised. Just real quick, I'll go through the winners. Best R&B performance, the winner was Weeknd for Earned It.
Mm-hmm.
Best traditional performance was Layla Hathaway, Little Ghetto Boy.
Layla.
Best R&B song is Really Love, D'Angelo. Best Urban Contemporary Album, The Weeknd, Beauty Behind the Madness, and Best R&B Album, Black Messiah. How come, like, you can't, you know, the Grammys give out over 80 awards. And the fact of the matter is that people really watch for the performances. They give out so few awards actually on the televised portion. I know this because I used to work at MTV, so I know how the VMAs run. You always... How come you guys only gave out 4 awards? And I mean, the real thing that gets the ratings that people want to watch are the performances. So you gotta have to strike a balance. And you know, I always felt even when I was in MTV, I felt like we could have probably struck a better balance. But to not have one R&B award on TV, do you feel that's right? Do you feel it's justified? Do you feel it's wrong?
Absolutely wrong.
Okay.
It makes no sense. And I feel like if there's so many performances and that's what people are watching for, then if you have to narrow it down to one of each category, then do that.
That would make more sense.
But
yeah.
You can't have country, rock, rap, but then leave out the R&B.
They didn't give out a ton of rock awards either.
They gave out the country awards.
They gave out the country awards, but shit, you know how many records country's still moving units? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here. But so what award did they televise and then what did they take out? Because, you know, you also, when you have a TV show, like, it's in that block of time.
Right.
That everybody bought ads for. So it has to start at a certain time. It has to end on a certain time. So to give out one more award, you have to take out something. Like, what do you do?
Realistically, as a person who just watches the Grammys, I don't think I really paid attention to who won the few awards that they did show.
Right.
I know Kendrick won. I know that.
And Kendrick only won one. Kendrick won 5 awards.
Right.
Only one of them was televised. Mm-hmm.
The best rap.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Taylor won. But
yeah. Well, Taylor won the big award of the night, so.
Yeah.
I don't think.
And she clapped at Kanye.
And she went on a little rant.
Nah, but.
We're not going to go there because this is an R&B podcast. We're not going to go there. I mean, first and foremost, I want to say that I'm upset that Rico Love was nowhere, no nominations. To my knowledge, I only hear the ones that they announced or whatever.
Rico Love wasn't nominated. I say the same thing, but I'm a stan, so when I say it, people say that I'm crazy. So thank you. I feel like Turn the Lights On should have got a nomination.
Say is where was Kalani?
Kalani was nominated.
She was nominated.
I know, but is it just me? I did not see her.
I didn't see her either.
I saw her on the red carpet.
On the red carpet, so where but they her? Show like, where? Yeah, show? Where did they sit her? Because I know they went through the entire like first three rows from the beginning. They said all of our nominees, and they put a big span over the first. You could see into like the first three rows. I was looking for that red dress because I'm kind of obsessed with Kalani. But
definitely. We share a similar tattoo. Oh, of who, Rob? Who do we?
Lauren.
Yes.
Okay.
And she left the miseducation. No,
she left y'all both hanging.
so many shots.
No, but seriously, like, I mean, I think they could have gave The Weeknd an award maybe right before his performance. He won.
That would have been smart.
You know, or I would have really loved to see, because even though we heard D'Angelo and D'Angelo had this awesome comeback with Black Messiah, we really haven't seen the big D'Angelo moment. Like, it would have been great to see D'Angelo get his award televised.
Yeah.
For how amazing that album was.
And Black Messiah is a
definitely. And I feel like not enough people know that it's a great album.
Because they don't even take the time to listen to it. That's the problem.
So maybe you are right. They need to make time for at least one R&B.
They could have. You know, and I want to point out, I want to shout out Jeff Baird, a writer, a journalist who I've been following for a while. We kind of started our relationship or to get to know each other with a disagreement. He wrote an article for The Atlantic, and I refuted it with an article that I wrote at MTV News. But we actually got to talking. He's like a really super cool dude. And he just wrote this article for Vibe magazine, Vibe.com, called Is R&B Under Siege? Tyrese, Sam Smith, and the Genre's Identity Crisis. And, you know, I encourage you guys to go read it, Google it. He actually shouts out the Red Light Special
Yeah, we're going to share that
with
me when this episode comes out. And
we'll share it. But, you know, it kind of touches on the same thing that, you know, R&B is marginalized unless it's on the pop side of things. Like, you know, a Sam Smith is more acceptable, you know, and they're more willing to see that on TV and share the moments and even play that on radio. We don't even get, Rico was talking about that on his episode, like a lot of traditional what R&B is.
I mean, Andre Day was up there, so I kind of don't agree with that whole Sam.
That's true.
Sam
Hunt Andre
thing.
Day, they get. But,
and why aren't people talking about Andre Day? She has an amazing voice. She's an amazing singer. She's done the Apple promotions.
Right.
People are. Here's my thing, and I'm sorry, like, I completely went off on what you're saying, but, like, acknowledge what does get shown.
Right.
Instead of complaining about what doesn't. And I'm all for the problems that are occurring today, and there's a lot of them. But when they put Andre Day up on that stage and she does an incredible job with Ellie Goulding, who is also an incredible artist, where is the talk about that?
You know, right? You're right. I think you're absolutely right. One thing that I want to say though about this Vibe article is not connected to the Grammys. It reminded me of what was going on in the Grammys. He's making a bigger point outside of the Grammys, so I don't want to misrepresent his work. Right. Now, you know what, though? I think you're right. Miguel was up there, too. Mm-hmm. Miguel got up there and sung Michael Jackson, She's Out of My Life.
You know, I actually kind of forgot about that until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, nah.
So maybe
Chris is changing my mind a little bit.
Maybe we had a little bit more it just wasn't standout-ish as much as the other moment, I guess.
But then you know, at the same time, if you're given 5 to 10 minutes to show out, and that's on you as the performer. Like,
right.
You know, I think Lauryn Hill and Weeknd, if they would have pulled that off, would have
been
amazing.
Rihanna, she canceled her performance.
Well, she was sick. They're saying that she had bronchitis or something like that, that she really couldn't perform or she would have had damage.
Last
vocal
time she
cord.
Canceled was not a good thing. So I was like, OMG.
Yeah.
I'm scared. OMG. Rihanna's canceling.
And it also feels like the David Bowie thing. They wasn't always there. Obviously, David Bowie just passed away a few weeks ago, so I think as they were planning out the show, David Bowie got added. there wasn't really, the R&B did get represented, but yeah, I think they could have snuck in a weekend award.
I think any award, you know, like that really, I wish you guys could see like my face right now, but I really wish they would have, seriously, because it's, I think it's a little ridiculous, like at least one.
Right.
Because some genres got multiple. So if you're asking which one would you remove, okay, if there's a best song of that category and best album of that category, choose one. Give R&B one. I think that's how you learn to really put together an award show and make it fair.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
But then, too, it's all about them clicks and them viral moments. So for R&B fans to say, yo, we need more R&B moments, you do have to support the moments that are there. Like,
right.
I think you make a great, you know, point. Like, you know, what do you take away? Like, because country friends is rapping.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. It's true. I'm often not the type of person. I usually talk about what I like rather than talk about what I dislike, because it's just like wasted energy. Like, you could big something up and take something to another level rather than complain about something. Interesting. I don't know where I stand, but there was some dope R&B performances. I think Miguel, I think Andre Day definitely, and The Weeknd, even though, like I said, I felt like something was off. Man, if they would have pulled that Lauryn Hill thing off, though, it would have been amazing.
It would have been so great.
I want to get into something else. This just happened today. It just went down. Right before we came up, you know, we were kind of mapping out what we were talking about. Right before we came up to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
My guy. I really fuck with this dude, man. He's such a nice dude. Sage the Gemini. Did you know he was dating him and Jordan Sparks? Have been dating for about 10 months.
I actually didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I thought he was... I know he dated Kaylin, but I didn't know who else he was dating after the fact.
Yeah,
I didn't know that either.
He's been with Jordan Sparks for a minute. Obviously, she was with her and Jason Derulo had a high-profile relationship.
Mm-hmm. That I knew.
I feel like Sage and Jordan were public about it, but it wasn't the thing that everybody was talking about. But
they weren't relationship goals.
But for him, it's relationship goals now. Because that man... So obviously, they broke up. I don't know why they broke up. But today... He put a picture on Instagram
of
him and her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read the caption. It's a book. Sage Gemini, he says, "Can't sit here in that industry like this shit don't hurt me. You're the only girl I could call at 3 a.m. and you'll answer no problem. You're the only girl that can wake up out of a dead sleep and get me some water because I was coughing in my sleep. The only girl that loves me the way you were supposed to. I miss you too much to watch you look so amazing at Clive Davis's party." I think he meant Clive Davis. I didn't know if Clive Frazier from the Knicks and Clive Davis had a party, but he said Clive Davis. I think he means Clive Davis's Grammy party. "You look so amazing at the Clive Davis party, and not to be able to call you and express how much I appreciated the look because you won't answer nor text back, the feeling is horrible. You see this picture? That's the picture of me looking at niggas, looking at you, and giving them the eye like, what's up, nigga? And you like, it's okay, babe. And you making me smile and feel just a little more secure about it. LOL. It kind of reminds me of the picture of the little lady standing in front of the Hulk and being the only one that could calm him down. That's you, you know. But yeah, this shit is crazy. I just want to tell you I'm still being a good boy just in case you come to your senses. Valentine's Day was supposed to be a special day. I wanted that to be our anniversary because it's your grandparents'. And maybe we could have double dated. Remember? Please call me back. I just want like a hug and a kiss or something. Sincerely, Dominic Wynn Woods."
Damn, he put the government out there.
He signed it with his government. So,
wow.
This Sage the Gemini. But look, man.
Is he a Gemini?
Yeah, I think he's a Gemini. He wants his woman back.
He's begging. Those references.
He didn't beg. He didn't say please not once.
An Instagram caption. That's begging.
That's begging. Whether he said please or not does not decide.
Wait, sound horrible because this is
No. Keep it real now, because I tweeted it. I actually really fuck with Sage. We met a couple of times, man. Really respect the dude. And my caption was, My man is giving his heart. Salute. I fuck with it, but he was getting clowned. People were clowning me for saluting him. So the question is that too much? You look uncomfortable, Chris. I was reading the whole thing and you looked uncomfortable.
It was some of the things that he said that's like...
Like what?
These are this what you're
just
saying.
Talking. I feel like people are going to confuse us. This
you
episode.
Think so?
Yeah, that is just so... She was like the...
I want to know if people think we sound alike. I don't know.
Let us know. Anyways.
What you were saying. You think it's too much?
Okay. I don't... Like, I can't even grasp the words. I wish I would have read this prior so I could have like... Put in my
no,
mind.
Let it come out naturally.
You gotta come
what
out
do you
naturally.
Think?
First of all, we need to know what he did to say things like that.
Doesn't matter what he did. He's
yes,
being a good
does.
Boy. That's what he no, said. He said, I'm being a good boy, just in
a
case.
A good boy now.
Allegedly.
What'd you do, Sage?
Nah.
We need to know what he did, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's the picture of the Hulk and...
That's what he said, yeah. This is the picture that he posted with him and her together.
Are they kissing?
She looks like their lips are touching. It's a
okay,
weird kiss.
Kissing.
Yeah,
oh,
it's a
okay.
weird kiss.
Valentine's Day should have been us. We could have double dated. It just feels like he's now realizing that she pretty much, it sounds like she wanted simple things from him. And he's now realizing that those simple things that she did were what means more than, I don't even.
Facts. Right.
Crazy.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I feel
I'm
with you 100%.
Words. I just felt some of the references he made, I think, were like, it was like he was, right? He was calling her, leaving a voicemail. It sounds like a music soul child.
Mm-hmm.
He has a song.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dear John that
yeah.
he's leaving a voicemail. He's like,
yeah.
that's what he's doing. And now it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to want to get your girl back. Hopefully you didn't mess up that bad and you can get her back. But to do it fully publicly saying that, I think is like
so if your ex did that to you, that like this is not romantic. This is like this is not a way to win you back.
I don't need public affection. I need you to do something. Now I always say this is my joke. If my boyfriend messed up on me, show up to my house with a Beats Pill playing Bryson Tiller, Right My Wrongs, like that, do something. Just don't say something, because you can say whatever you want to say. It doesn't mean that you're physically going to do something. So like it's grand that he made that gesture, but just saying those things, is that going to get her back? Well, I mean, at the end he says pick up my phone call, so I guess maybe she's just ignoring him at this point.
Clearly.
So he felt desperate times, desperate measures. I don't know.
She
it's a little
she
much.
She can't ignore this.
I'm not clowning him because, you know, right. everybody's entitled to feel what they feel. But, wow.
Yeah, I see a lot of dudes clowning him. But before I even address how the dudes are treating him, because a dude going to say whatever in front of the rest of his dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like, in front of the rest of his guys. But I wanted to get a female perspective. Like, Chris, like, how do you feel about this? Like, if this was you, if the shoe was on the other foot.
Her face. Look at
yeah, her face.
Face.
I wish I could show you her face. Wait, is this something that you would feel good about? Like, oh, man, look, he really means it. Or is it too public?
Well, me personally, I'm just a super private person. It's hard. I mean, I think they were together, what, not even a year?
I think it was like 10 months.
So, number one. Oh,
she's
God.
Lost for words, too. I'm telling
it's
you,
just,
this is touchy.
It's, you know, like, I don't want to sound wrong, because, like, would I clown him? No. You know, by all means, if you want to go out and express your love. The part of Valentine's Day where he said, you know, I even thought maybe we could double date. It's the end. It would be our anniversary and theirs. That was the sweetest part of it all to me. Like, that right there is dope, because the idea behind that is something that, like, you say, like, the whole Beats Pill playing Bryson Tiller. I would never take back a man that did that. I don't want nobody showing up to my front door playing no music on no kind of Beats Pill. Don't.
Oh, you rather hear don't?
Don't.
All right, we got you. You rather hear don't.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like, to me,
don't.
I feel like, I will say this, the most Just acknowledge what you did, know that you were wrong, and that's the easiest way, I feel like, for a woman to forgive. Like, I've been in situations where a person has came out and said something that they fucked up and did, and it was wrong, and it's like, well, at least you were honest. Like, I'm more likely to forgive someone who's honest with me and what they did wrong than somebody who did wrong and hides it and doesn't and keeps it from me.
Let me ask you a question. Now you guys, but
Instagram is too much.
Instagram is a lot.
That's
right?
A story.
I feel like that's
like,
what it is.
But none of you guys, all due respect, are as famous as Jordan Sparks, right? Like, I say that to say a lot.
Shots fired.
A lot of their life is in front of the cameras, right? So a lot of their relationship, even though a lot of people didn't know they were dating,
and
has been played out publicly. Like, they're still like, so is there leeway because he's famous?
What's the leeway? What do you mean because he's famous? Like,
because a lot of their relationship played out publicly anyway.
Yeah, but if he would have posted a picture. Mm-hmm. And again, this is like, you know, I don't like to comment on personal things because I'm not that kind of person. But since we're on the topic, you know, it's like a nice little picture you throw up and you put a cute little like subliminal message to that person.
Put a simple,
that to
I
me
love
is
you.
Dope. Like, you know how many times like I'll. No, actually, I don't do that. I don't know. Like, if you were to put up a picture and put like a cute little message behind it and Jordan Sparks was to know that
a nice little sub,
like even if it was a picture of them two and like people are like, well, aren't they broken up? Like, you know that sub is for her. It's like, that makes it dope. But for you to come out and kind of write a little diary, you know, page into a comment, it's a little too much. It's like, it doesn't make it special for her, I believe.
I wouldn't have done it. But then again, he want the world to know. Listen,
it's not to clown him either.
The part where he had me at the beginning, I was like, first of all, I believe this is the woman for him. And he needs to go get her by any means necessary. When he said the part about you will wake up in the dead of your sleep and go get me some water because I was coughing in my sleep. That Jordan Sparks is an amazing woman, man. Applaud that woman. I don't know what you did. I don't know what's going on, man. But go get your girl, man. Make
she's
it right.
Beautiful, so.
Oh, yeah. Nah, definitely. Like, without a doubt. Beautiful, talented. And she seems like she got her mind right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sage, man, you my guy. Go get your girl, man. I ain't mad at you, man.
Just don't get her with a B pill, please. Just don't show up with a B pill.
Hey. Playing Bryce until it don't.
What's that 80s
If Jess ever gets mad at me, I know what to do now.
No, okay. This is where you're going, because somebody on the timeline had put, what is it? Is it Breakfast at Tiffany's?
No, it's not Breakfast at Tiffany's.
No, not Breakfast at Tiffany's. The Breakfast Club. I knew it was something with breakfast.
It's not Breakfast Club either.
It's the Breakfast Club with the guy.
No, he throws his fist at the end of the movie. No,
and he's holding a...
Molly Wingwald.
Yeah.
Molly is in the movie that it is, but it's not that movie.
And he's holding the boombox.
That's not him. Different movie.
I said Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's the Breakfast Club. Right, and then
Breakfast
don't they play that?
My favorite movie.
Don't You Forget About Me, don't you.
But it's a different movie.
Oh.
All right.
But he does that. He shows up. He shows up at her house, and outside the window he has a boombox. But I don't think he did anything wrong. It was more of so like he was just showing her that he cared and something like that. But yeah, right my wrongs.
One of them John Hughes
Pretty
movies.
Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles.
One of them John Hughes movies.
Yeah, I can't even.
Life.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put.
Later.
All of my stuff
I'm a
out
movie
there
junkie,
like that.
So
like, I mean, we live so much of our life on social media too. I don't know why people get clowned. Like, I've seen people post way worse on social media. Like, if you see the type of things that come across the timeline, I've seen sex clips, like the wildest selfies, games, fucking eggplant pictures, like people put the wildest shit on social media. So how come at this point now it's like, oh man, that's too much?
Okay, well, to compare, doesn't Chris Brown do this often? Chris Brown does this all the time.
Waves is such an amazing song.
Public.
Yeah, he always, every time he messes up, he publicly announces, he deletes them later.
I fuss with Chris, man. I support Chris.
But I don't think people... I mean, the only time I really saw them clown Chris Brown is that picture where he's, like, coming at her.
Oh, with
you
the
Carucci? Know that meme, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Other than that, I mean, I don't really feel like they clown him for what he says.
Chris wants to go get his girl, but it's different with Chris. Chris needs to chill because any act of aggression is going to be used against him. Like, mm-hmm. Chris can't be that aggressive. Sage, I think, is a nice guy. I think Chris is a nice guy too, but obviously with his history. Yo, man, go get your girl, man. Like, do what you gotta do, man.
That was our relationship advice segment, by the way. Yeah.
One last thing I want to do, this is gonna be a long episode. Wow. Before we got out of here, man, I was reading this book. I had interviewed L.A. Reid a couple of weeks ago. His people over at Epic, he had a live session set up with Facebook, and they asked me, you know, they picked me. He said, you know, L.A. wanted you to do the interview. I never even met L.A. before, which is, like, crazy. And they said, you know, he has this book. The book is called L.A. Reid, Sing to Me. Mm-hmm. My story of making music, finding magic, and searching for who's next. And so they gave me a book in a day, and I had to read the book and do the interview.
Pretty big book, too.
Nah, but you seriously can't put it down. And
have you finished it?
No.
No. But it's good.
I skimmed through it. Like, before I interviewed him, I read, like, chunks in the beginning, middle, of end, so at least I got like a grasp of it. Mm-hmm. But there was a part that I wanted to read because it reminded me of a long time ago. We did an episode about Michael Jackson versus Prince.
Yes.
And again, I only like to do these versus episodes when we talk about legends, people that are established. Like, I don't like to do the Tory Lanez versus the Bryson Tillers, because I feel like they're both coming up still.
Right.
And I don't want to do anything to undercut any of these guys' careers, which could be amazing. But Prince and Michael Jackson, like, there's nothing Rob Markman is going to say or Kristen Cole that's going to say that's going to stop any of their legacies. Mm-hmm. But when we talked about them having a real rivalry, so in this L.A. book, he talks about them having a real rivalry. And I wanted to read a little bit of this. It was just a funny story.
Story time. Stories.
So basically in the book, where we are in the book, L.A. Reid and Babyface, who write and produce music together, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson had flown them out to his house, to Neverland Ranch, to work on some music. And they took like a helicopter ride from the airport to the Neverland Ranch. And the helicopter ride was super bumpy, to scare the hell out of him. But it was on purpose. Like, he describes Michael as like loving to like play pranks on people. So he must have told the pilot to make it really shaky. So they're already like nervous. And then he was teasing them. He was telling them, like, he'll play songs and be like, oh, I like that song. And there were songs that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did. There wasn't even songs like he was complimenting them on songs that they didn't even make. So here we go. This is the part now. He says, Michael took us on the tour of every nook and cranny of his incredible Neverland. You want to have some more laughs, he said. He took us to a screening room and ran a short clip of James Brown concert at the Wilton Theater in 1983. When Michael was called out of the audience and danced a few steps, mesmerizing the audience in an instant. In the clip, Jackson then whispers in Brown's ear that Prince is also in the audience. And Brown calls him up too. Only Prince can't make his guitar work. Frantically stripping off his shirt and trying tricks with the microphone stand and making all these poses. After Michael's dazzling star turn, Prince fell as flat as he could, and Michael enjoyed laughing at the video. After that, he put on the scene from Prince's movie Under the Cherry Moon, the artsy black and white bomb he made after Purple Rain. And he laughed some more at Prince.
Yo. I like how he said ripped open his shirt.
Yo.
Typical.
That's a real story. Like,
yeah.
I knew that story.
I knew they had a rivalry, right? But there was a video at a James Brown concert. Like, Michael set Prince up.
That's crazy.
To fail.
That's crazy.
And it was on film and he'd watch it. This is in 1983. So at this point, when he's with L.A. Reid, it has to be 80. They said it was after Bad. So it had to be like 89. It's probably like 90, 91. Era. So this is 7-8 years later, Michael is still watching this tape laughing at Prince.
Yeah, I see that.
Oh, that was the funniest shit to me, man. Rest in peace, Michael Jackson. Right? Where's that video? Somebody has that video still, right?
I gotta hit up my boy O'Neal. Shout out to O'Neal. He was out in Miami for the Revolt Music Conference. That's actually the first time I met L.A. Reid. Very nice guy. I'm definitely going to ask for that video, though. I'm going to get my hands on that video. That's my mission.
Yeah, I want to see that. When you get that, share that.
Nah, but really, like, yo, if you haven't, and I'm not saying this, I don't have to plug it. Like, you know, we spoke about L.A. Coming on the podcast down the road. I mean, maybe that'll happen. This is not that. Like, I've actually, like, really enjoyed this book, like, to hear, like, how records came together, like Babyface Records and End of the Road. They said there's a part that where Babyface, he demoed End of the Road. Like, he sung it, you know, he wrote the song, he sung it, and the song was fine. Like, it was great. And they said that Boyz II Men took it to a place that they couldn't even imagine. Like, he writes about recording with Whitney Houston, like Whitney Houston laying down like perfect vocals in like 20 minutes and then going to the mall with Pebbles, you know. They talk about TLC and how they almost kicked Chili out the group before they even started. I didn't get to the red light special part yet. I didn't get to that to that era. I'm in the book right now, I'm probably up to like 92, 93, like right around where they find Toni Braxton and release Toni Braxton and right around the Lifetime movie.
I didn't know the book had, you know, like stories that you can't get anywhere else like that. I'm definitely picking that up.
Yeah, nah. Dude is amazing. Like, when you think about all the stuff, and he wouldn't believe me. I'm like, yo, man, I grew up like listening to the records you created. He was like, yo, you can't be that old. And sadly, I am.
It's not even about... You are, but... No. It's not about being old. It's about timeless music. Yeah. You know, it's going to carry on to anyone. There's people my age, there's people maybe 5 years, 6 years younger than me that they know about those people too who are not even with us, some of them.
Right.
But it's just classic, timeless, great music.
Right.
You can't replace that.
Nah, definitely. You ever heard Toni Braxton's first album, Jess?
I've heard it.
Okay. I'm just asking. I'm not...
I've heard
this
it.
Is not judging. I'm not setting you up for that. She's looking at me.
I'm like, oh my God.
I'm just saying, no. I'm not setting you up for nothing. Nah, because I think you will like it. I think you will fuck with Toni Braxton.
I haven't gone back into it.
Mm.
I mean, my mom's young, so that's why I know the R&B that I know, because I grew up listening to her listen to it. So maybe she was going through something. And
what was the type of stuff that your mom was listening to?
Oh, my mom listens to everything, but R&B is life to her. My mom's favorite person ever is R. Kelly.
Wow.
R. Kelly can do no wrongs to my mother. No wrongs. No wrongs.
We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago.
We're going to go right past this subject.
Yeah, he could do no wrongs.
Amazing artist.
My mom's favorite group is Jagged Edge. I had this debate on Twitter. You were a part of that.
I think that's going to be one episode. We got to do like the four-way, like, just like R&B groups, like I think 112, Jagged Edge.
112.
And Drew Hill.
You put the nail in the coffin for my argument.
What was that? I forgot what I said.
Because I tweeted that I actually prefer Jagged Edge over 112.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I feel I favor them is because when Jagged Little Thrill came out, I lived in Georgia.
Right.
So when you're there in their city and you hear it and they're black, or when Jermaine Dupri did that remix, I Need
Married.
Love. Oh, no, no, okay. The I Need Love remix. Right. He put Jagged Edge over LL Cool J's beat.
Right.
Or maybe LL Cool J sampled that, but it's beyond the point.
That was originally LL's. Yeah, it wasn't the sample.
You only heard that in Georgia.
Right.
Like, you didn't hear it anywhere else. So to live through that, it meant more to me than... I wasn't in New York for 112.
But 112, you know where 112 is from?
Where are they from? They're from Atlanta too.
They're from Atlanta.
Yeah. why do people so act stupid? Like,
but it's not true. I think because Bad Boy was based in New York, and 112's first video was in Times Square. Like, people just associate, like, one of my biggest pet peeves, especially on Twitter, is when people start the New York versus Down South argument. Like we don't listen to, like, I listen to everything, bro. Like, it's not just New York, and I felt like that. I felt like when I was on Twitter, like, it became like Atlanta was like Jagged Edge, and then they was like, oh, you know, you from New York, so of course it's 112. And I'm like, fucking Club 112.
You know,
like,
I didn't even
from Atlanta.
I guess I didn't even really, it didn't even like hit me that that's actually true. I just, Jagged Edge to me, whatever. But you had wrote, you came out of nowhere. So I have my whole timeline going crazy.
I often do. Mm-hmm.
I have my whole timeline going crazy, telling me that I'm absolutely absurd with my Jagged Edge over 112. Then Rob comes out of nowhere on Twitter and was like, but 112 made a song with Biggie. The whole argument was over.
Yeah, I said that.
Yes. I do remember that.
That was real petty.
I remember
one
that.
One of my friends retweeted you and was like, it would be Rob Markman to put the nail in the coffin. The argument is over. No more tweets.
I remember that, yeah.
That was petty.
I mean, it was. I was like, you would. Because it's true, though, but I...
Right. Nah, I get you. But that'll be an interesting debate. I wasn't a huge Drew Hill fan, either.
I wasn't a big fan.
Like, you know what? Drew Hill, I remember when Drew Hill first came out. Like, you got to understand, this is before Instagram, this is before Twitter, this is before YouTube.
Wait.
What happened?
No, I'm saying way before Twitter, Instagram.
Right? So this is, Tell Me was their first single.
Mm-hmm.
And so you only would hear it on the radio. You would just hear it on the radio. And I thought it was Jodeci. I thought it was the new Jodeci single. Because they were using Jodeci's ad-libs and everything. Like, and you know, and all that. It wasn't until I saw the video, and I was like, oh, okay. It's that new Jodeci. And I'm like, that's not Casey, and that's not JoJo. Like, who are these dudes hopping around? And so I think from the start, I was like, Drew Hill was, like, doomed for me from the start. Because, like, I was such a huge Jodeci. Yeah, I was a huge Jodeci fan, and I liked the song. Like, I liked Tell Me. I think Tell Me is a dope song. Drew Hill, of course, has amazing songs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just so let down when it wasn't Jodeci. I was just like, man, what are we going to do now?
I think that sticks with you when something like that kind of, like, you know.
Yeah, I never forgave Drew Hill.
Drew Hill has great records.
Yeah,
definitely.
Five Steps.
Definitely.
We're Not Making Love No More.
Mm, great. Like,
you know, Cisco, I like Jazz, too. I thought Jazz didn't get enough credit. He was the big guy in the group.
I just think in that time, other artists popped more. You know, like, I feel like people clinged on to, like, different, and Drew Hill was kind of just,
You know what album I didn't give a chance? I never gave it a chance, and Joe Budden was the one who told me to listen to it. I got to go back.
The Bracket?
Let's not talk about The Bracket. But Cisco's first album, like, I couldn't get past the Thong song. Like, I never gave Cisco's first album a chance.
Oh, yeah, he did bring that up.
I gotta listen to Cisco's first album.
What other songs were on that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell. The Thong song was just, like, large and light. Like, I couldn't tell you. When I drive home tonight, I'm gonna throw on the first Cisco album and see what's cracking.
Yeah, I can't even recall what was on there. Like, you think Cisco, you think the Thong song. Like, what other song do you think of for Cisco?
That's it. Grand opening, grand closing.
Yeah,
yeah, but
I think I'll do that too, just to.
Just to have some context.
Like,
I trust Joe's opinion. So if Joe says there's some dope songs on there, like, I'm with it. Like, let me check it out. See what he's talking about.
I just won't listen to it the way he listened to the Tank album in front of us.
Oh, he listened to that Tank album. He listened to that Tank album.
Tank album.
He almost
amazing,
killed Marissa.
Though.
He almost mangled Marissa's face.
Yeah. Shout out to them, though, man. They sold out SOBs for a live podcast. That is, to me, that still is, like.
Yeah.
You know.
Tax Stone got his coming up, and Tax sold out his.
Do you know that he changed?
He changed the venue, right?
Yeah. Well, same venue, different, I think, theater. Yeah. I guess the venue is one of those where, kind of like photography studios, sometimes they'll have different theaters you could rent out.
Right.
Different floors. But, the demand was so good, and he sold all the tickets that he had to get a bigger space. Which,
well,
I think
you guys are next.
Amazing.
God willing.
You guys are next.
God willing. We'll do it when it's ready. I just want to make sure it's the right
we'll
time.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure it's the right time. But, man, I think that's it. We went a long time this week. But it ain't feel that long. We had friends with us.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having
dope
me.
Dope, genuine combo.
This is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for coming through. Say what's up to your moms, too.
Shout out to my mom, my little brother, who puts me on to a lot of new music. My little brother, Justin, will text me and be like, have you heard this? Have you heard that?
So your little brother puts you on to the new.
Yes.
And your mother keeps you in the loop with the old.
Yes, she
the
does.
The old good stuff.
That's dope.
Shout out to your mom.
And, you know, shout out to your art again. Thank you for the painting. Like, it's definitely going to be the cover of this episode. So they're looking at it right now. I can't thank you enough. That was super dope.
I'm just happy that you liked it.
Nah, I love it.
I was very, very worried. Like, I worked on it for quite a bit because I was like, oh my God.
Nah, no. I love it. Thank you so much. And shout it out. Shout out where people can find you at, where they can find you on Twitter and Instagram and all of that.
Well, first, I actually want to give a shout out to some of my best friends in the world, Torian and Reggie, First Class Breakfast. They have a blog. They keep up with everything as well. I just want to show them love because they always show me some love. So sorry about that. I just want to give some love to them first. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. My Twitter is Mobigga, MOBIGGAAA. I believe it's two A's. Yeah. I don't even know. Like, it's just, I've had Twitter for so long. My Instagram is the same. My art Instagram, again, is Bigga Picture, BIGGAA Picture. Follow the hashtags, you could find it. Even Snapchat, I try to post step by step of me painting things here and there.
That's dope. Cool.
So you get to see a process, how I start something, how
can invite that's me over, I'll snap for you.
Definitely I can even teach you how to paint something. Come up with an idea.
Oh.
And I could give you
We're doing painting lessons now?
Well, I've actually had friends over and they have an idea, and I help guide them their idea.
I've seen you post that, actually. And it comes out good. And I think you had, like, a little kid one time, right?
Oh, yeah. I teach a 9-year-old how to paint. Yeah.
All right. So we're doing that.
Paint and chill.
That's super dope.
Chris, love a painting coming to you.
I bet you it's going to be a pizza.
You ruined it, Rob.
Sorry. Chris, what's up? Where can they get you at? Where can they see your new web series?
Well, my social media is all the same. You guys already know, at Chris Lover, KRISLOVAA. Go to my YouTube. I believe it's YouTube/KristenJC20 or Chris Lover 21. I don't know. I'll plug it in.
See?
I know. Terrible, right? She doesn't know her at name. I don't know my YouTube channel.
Herb, come get your girl. But
the YouTube series is Lift a Fork. That's the health food show.
Just Google it.
I want to say a big thank you to Billy Kearney. You guys may not know of him yet, but he is an amazing director. We just finished our first short film together. That's going to probably be out in another month. It's finished. We're just planning the rollout. And shout out to We Are the Inner Circle, Chad Law and everybody. I just did the Desert Storm Radio with them for Valentine's Day, and that'll be up on SoundCloud soon.
Peace to Chad. Yeah, I met Chad a couple of times. We connected on a couple of things.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Super cool dude. Nah, that's dope. All right, so we're here. Now we're not.
Plug yourself in,
we'll see you next week. Oh, they know me. At Rob Markman. Like, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. And, you know, you can check me out on Genius.com. We're always doing, like, some cool things with Genius.
Very cool stuff.
I think what we did... We got some cool stuff coming, man. I'm not going to talk about it just yet, but, you know.
Of course.
Trying to shake up the game. But, yeah, that's it. So, check us out next week. This has been the Red Light Special.
Peace.
Jake and Papa. Take us out. Peace. And that's the motherfucking truth.